if you'll let him. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark, chapter number 5 this morning. Just for a few minutes, we'll look here at this scripture. Mark, chapter number 5. And we'll look here at verse number 24. Mark, chapter 5, verse 24. Somebody beside you don't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them and tell them to bring the Bible next Sunday so we can read this with us. This is a great story here, and I want to talk to you about it this morning. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She'd been to all kinds of doctors. And had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I'll preach this morning on the subject, touching Jesus. This story is recorded in the Bible as an example for me and you. This woman had a terrible disease. It was in her blood. She had it 12 years. She had been to all kinds of doctors, and instead of getting better, she got worse. And Jesus passed by, and she made up her mind, "If I can just touch him, I'll get well." And that's exactly what she did. And the Lord healed her. This is a picture of what the Lord does physically for people who are sick sometimes. And this is also a picture of what he does for us spiritually when we touch him. The night I got saved, I reached out and I touched him. It wasn't physically like I'm touching this pulpit, but by faith, I touched him. The old song says, "Touching Jesus is all that matters." And your life will never be the same. There's only one thing that matters. If you touch him. If you've ever touched him, and he's ever touched you, you know it. So this morning, let's look at this story here today and just break it down just a little bit. And you're going to see a picture of yourself in this story. First of all, her disease. Her disease. She had a blood disease in verse 25. It was a female disease that she had here, and it was a disease that would not get better and eventually would have killed her. Now, that's a picture this morning of you and I and the disease that we have. Did you know this morning you was born with a disease? It was a blood disease. And sin was in your bloodstream. You got it from your daddy. He got it from his 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 daddy. And all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we got this sin disease from our parents. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin got into our bloodstream. So we got a disease. Our disease is in our blood. We have sinful blood. By the way, when Jesus was here, he did not have sinful blood. He had his Father, God's blood, running through him. Acts chapter 20 said he had God's blood inside him. And so we have this disease. It made her three things. She was weak, she was unclean, and she was miserable. And sin will do all three of them things to you. It'll make you weak, it'll make you unclean, and it will make you miserable. Sin starts off like it's going to be this great, big, wonderful time. But buddy, after you get into it, the further you go, the more miserable you get. Sin will never make you happy permanently. It'll make you have fun for a little while. And going in the front door, there's thrills and there's excitement. But the further you get into sin, the more miserable your life is going to be. Her disease, she had a disease called sin. And man has never found a remedy. She had it 12 years and never got better. That's why I wanted to sing that song a minute ago. There is a remedy. She tried everything in the world, but she was gradually dying. She realized she had it. That was a great advantage to her. This woman, one thing that caused this woman to get well, she realized she was sick. And you got to realize you're sick before you're going to try to get well. Now, the reason a lot of people don't come to the Lord, they don't realize they're a sinner. They don't realize. You got to realize you're sin and you got something wrong with you before you're going to go to the doctor. My mom used to tell Daddy, Daddy'd go around the house and he'd be a sneezing and a headache and they'd have the flu or something. And Mom said, you get sick enough, you'll go to the doctor. I remember her telling that. And you will. You get sick enough, you're going to realize you need some help. And when you get sick of your sin, and you get sick of the way you're living. Are you listening to me? When you get sick of that dope, and you get sick of that alcohol, and you get sick of that lifestyle that you're living, you're going to go get some help. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there is a remedy. There's somebody that can help you. She realized that she had it, and she had a disease. Number two, her desire. She had a desire to be healed. People want help and always looking for something. Now the Bible said here that she spent everything she made on physicians. So let's think about that for a little bit. She went to that one doctor and that didn't work. She went to another doctor and that didn't work. She went to another doctor and that didn't work. She went to another doctor and that didn't work. And finally, she had no money left. The Bible said she'd spent all. Now what that's a picture of is people trying everything in the world to ease their conscience, to get rid of the guilt, to take away the problem that we've got, and people are doing that this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, she tried everything. The Bible said she went to many physicians. Now let's just spiritualize this for a minute. And here she goes. She gets up one morning and she said, I've got this blood disease and it's going to kill me. I'm going to the doctor. She looks in the yellow pages. Here's all big list of them down through there. She picks out that first one. She calls, makes an appointment. They say, come on in here, be here at 9 o'clock. She walks in there like this and she goes, come in. And the nurse said, have a seat right over there. Here's you a bunch of paper to fill out. And, you know, you have to put your life history on there. And boy, it takes you forever. And she said, we'll call you here in just a minute. Can you imagine? She sat over here like this. She realized she was dying. She realized that blood disease was in her. And buddy, she began to get some help. She began to get some help. You realize you got sin in you. You realize your life messed up. I meet people all the time. We met people yesterday. We went visiting up the road from the church and we was knocking on doors and went and visited people up yonder in Virginia. And buddy, we met people that need help. I'm telling you, it broke my heart. I'm telling you, the little old houses down them roads and just people living in poverty. And boy, I remember the other night I talked to this guy, I believe it was the day before yesterday. Friday evening, we stopped and visited these people. And this man said, I need to go to church. I need it. He realized his need. Here come another man out of the house. Here come another man out of the house. And it's a wild place. I left them in the ones that was with me in my forerunner, and I walked across the street, and that guy saw me. I had on a tie, and he all right said, Travis, come here. And Travis was a big old boy, come walking up the road,
And he come walking up the road with his hand like this right here. And like his, he didn't know who I was. I thought I might be a FBI agent or a narc or somebody. And Travis come walking up the road like this right here. And I was standing here talking to this guy and I said, that guy has a gun or a knife one. And all my brave friends here just sat there and let them kill me. And I was standing there, so I backed up like this and I said, I'm a preacher. I come in peace. And they smiled and I said, the Lord loves you. We come to invite you to church. And Travis just put his hand around here like this, like any other North home. Thank the Lord. I mean, these are rough old mountain codgers. And boy, I tell you, I said, y'all need help. Y'all need help. Y'all need help. You need help. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. And you know what? They realized it. They realized they need help. You'll never get help till you realize you need help. You'll never come to God till you realize you need God. But she didn't know it yet. She went to the doctor. She went into this doctor, and the doctor said, yes, ma'am, what's your problem? She said, doctor, she said, I got something on my blood. She said, I think I'm dying. She said, I've got to have help. I've got to have help. And so he looks around there a little bit and said, what kind of insurance you got? And she tells him, I tell you what, I'm going to prescribe this, and I'm going to prescribe this, and I'm going to prescribe this, and I'm going to prescribe this. And he gave her about four different medicines. He said, you take this, and you come back and see me in a couple of weeks. And she went and got her prescription filled. And boy, I mean, tell you, she went home and she took one of them, two of them bedtime, four of them when you wake up, and four times a day take three of these, and two times a day take two of them. And the next thing you know, she woke up one morning and she was wanting that medicine. I mean, she wasn't even thinking about her sickness. All she could think about was them pills. And she got hooked on drugs. And that was worse than it was what her disease was doing to her. And she got on drugs. And brother, you know what they told her? They said, if you'll take this medicine, it'll help you. Now that's what the world is doing to many people this morning. What the world's doing to people this morning is you're miserable and you're not happy and your marriage breaks up or your back's hurting or something. And the devil will tell you, take one of these Percocets. Take that Vicodin. Take this. Take that. And you think, man, if I take that, I'll feel better. She tried that position. It didn't work. It ain't going to make your problem better. It's going to make them worse. I talked to a young man not too long ago. He told me, he said, I had to take two Percocet in the last hour just to feel normal. He said, I ain't high. He said, I had to take them just to keep from hurting. He said, my arms hurt. My legs hurt. My leg. And ladies and gentlemen, she got on drugs and the doctor prescribed it, but it did not take care of her problem. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there ain't no drug in the world going to fix a problem that's down inside you this morning. Ain't going to do it. You say, I'll just get high. Ain't going to do it. When you come back down, your problems is bigger than they was before. Okay? I'm telling you, brother, there's got to be something better than that. There's something better than pills. There's something better than alcohol. There's something better than alcohol, liquor, and wine. But let me tell you something, brother. She went to the doctor, but the doctor couldn't help her. Ain't going to help you neither. Now, medicine's okay if you need it. But brother, we got a bunch of people nowadays thinking every problem I've got, the answer to it's in a pill bottle. And it ain't the answer to your problem. That's all it's going to do is make you worse. Amen. You say, well, I can't do without it, preacher. Yeah, you can. Throw it in the commode and brother, flush it down to there and say, by God's grace, I'm going to get help some other way. Well, that didn't do no good. First thing you know, she was calling her relatives, saying, I'm hurting. Have you got any pain medicine? And they said, what happened to yours? She said, I took them all. They said, don't you get another prescription? She said, yeah, but I can't get no more of the first of the month. Can I have some of yours? Next thing you know, she's over at her grandmother's house. While her grandmother's sitting in the living room, she goes to the bathroom and starts going through the medicine cabinet looking for pills. Did that help her? No, it made her worse. You listen to me this morning. You hear what I'm saying? The world out there will offer you a pill to get rid of your guilty conscience, to help you through your divorce, to help you through whatever you're going through. I'm telling you, she tried the physician, but it did not help her. She went to another. She finally got off that stuff and she said, Lord, that medicine is worse than my problem. She went to another doctor, and he was one of these health doctors, holistic kind of a health. And he said, I'm a little bit different kind of doctor. He said, what you need to do? He said, we need to get you on a special diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. He said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He said, I'm going to make you a... His doctor told her, he said, I've got you a list here. He said, you're going to eat salad. You're going to leave off the red meat. And you're going to leave off the pork. And you get fish a couple of times a week. And you're going to get vegetables. And he said, I want you to go get you to the gym and get you a personal trainer. And you're going to get this personal trainer. Oh, it's going to cost you a lot of money now. That's why the Bible said she spent all. And boy, he said, we're going to get you a personal trainer. So here she goes. I mean, she goes out and she said, maybe this is what I'm looking for. And boy, she goes to the grocery store. And Lord, you'd have to be a millionaire to eat right. You know what? You really would. I mean, you seen how much that stuff costs? She went to one of them health stores. Here's regular apples, 50 cents. Organic apple, $2. And what's the difference? That ain't got no spray, and all you got to do is wash it off anyway. And that one does. Here's organic beans. Here's regular beans. Here's grown in the garden. Them imported somewhere and been froze or something. And she said, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to eat right. So she starts eating right and eating right and goes and buys her a treadmill. And boy goes and gets on that thing and she starts punching buttons. And that will slow down. Oh. That's about right there. He said to that, I'm going to start off like that for the first year or two. And boy, she got on that thing. And then she got her one of them big things. And she said, I like it. And bless her heart. And I mean, that didn't hurt her, but it didn't do her blood disease no good, did it? You know, you were a treadmill wound up. One guy said to me, treadmill. He said, man, I bought me one of them things. He said, I use it all the time. That's the best place in the world to hang your coat and your jacket. These people sitting right in here this morning, that's all you use yours for, just hang clothes on. I see a lot of people nodding their head like that right there. I tell you something, brother. You hear me this morning? I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with exercise. Everybody ought to do it. But it ain't going to get rid of your blood disease. It won't satisfy the deep longing of your soul. I mean, brother, you can pump iron if you're blue in the face. You say, well, I'm working on it, preacher. I'm doing it. You got that blood disease, that ain't going to help a bit. You say, I'm doing push-ups. I'm running on my treadmill. I'm doing push-ups. I'm listening. I'm doing push-ups. I'm running. I'm doing the best I can. I'm just. They walk around like that all the time and ain't doing your blood disease better good. She spent all she had on them physicians. She got her an ab lounge. And she was doing like it. So this thing's killing me. I can't walk. I'm so sore. I mean, she got active, brother. I mean, she ate green stuff and asparagus and broccoli and greens and everything else in the world. But the Bible said she grew worse. Listen, we are in a generation that everybody's talking about fitness, diet, fitness diet. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with it. It wouldn't hurt all of us to be a little more active. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to fix what's wrong with you. She said, I'm going to another doctor. This doctor said, where you been? She said, well, I went to one. He got me hooked on drugs. I went to another and he liked to kill me. Run myself to death and I exercised. She said, I've lost a total of 200 pounds. But she said, I lost 10, gained back 12, lost 10 more and gained back 5, lost 10 more. I've lost a total of 200 and the same size I was to start with. He said, I'm not that kind of doctor. He said, we focus here on your mind. I'm a little bit more of a psychologist, psychiatrist. He said, tell you the truth, this sickness is really just in your mind. And to tell you the truth, if you got to start believing, think positive thoughts, and we'll get you a crystal. You get one of them crystals hanging around your neck, and it neutralizes the negative forces in the room when you walk in. You can get jobs and all kind of stuff like that. If somebody's nice, mean to you at work or something, you can wear that crystal in there, and they'll be nice to you. You know there's a lot of people believe junk like that. You'd be surprised at the movie stars and big shots and millionaires that believe if you got a crystal, some kind of rock hanging on, a worthless rock is going to make your neighbor like you. So she said, all right, I'll try this. And she said, I'm not sick. 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 Ugh, I'm not sick. I mean, that's crazy. Like that woman said one time, those Christian scientists, that's what Christian scientists believe. Tom Cruise and some of them nuts like that is in these churches that believe that you just think positive. There is no such thing as pain. It's all in our mind. And if you can think positive enough, there's no pain, there's no death. The preacher went to see one of them guys one time, and he said, knocked on the door, and a little boy came to the door, and he said, where's your mama, son? He said, mama's sick. No. Your mama just thinks she's sick. It's all in her mind. So he came back about a week later. He knocked on the door and he said, where's your mama? He said, mama's still sick. No, son. Your mama is not sick. She thinks she's sick. He came back about two or three weeks later, knocked on the door and he said, son, where's your mama? He said, now mama thinks she's dead. And he said the truth. Now I'll tell you something, brother. She is dead. Now you whine around. You say, well, we need to think positive talk. It ain't going to change nothing. It ain't going to take your sins away. You know what they're trying to tell you? You know what the physicians of this world are telling our young people? They're saying, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. That's crazy. You ain't good. You ain't great. And you ain't beautiful, I hate to tell you. But you say, we're all beautiful. You're about out of your mind. No, we ain't. Some of you sitting right here saying, I am. No, you're not. You're a sinner that needs God and needs help from the Lord. That's what you are. A fallen sinner that needs God. He didn't do her a bit of good. She went to another doctor. He said, you know what you need? A vacation. Get away from it all. Without your husband, you and some girls. Go on a vacation without your husband. That's what you need. You and the girls at work. And she said, really? I thought we was one flesh and we're supposed to not act like... No. You need to get away from this hick town you live in and go to Florida or go to California or go somewhere. If you just get away from a while, I believe you'd be better off. But see, what that guy didn't realize is that she's got that disease in her. When she goes to Florida, it's still in her. And that's the way your sins are. Ain't nothing wrong with going on vacation, but it ain't going to fix what's wrong with you. You can travel. Somebody said, well, I can't wait till I get all my bills paid and I'm going to travel the world. It ain't going to fix your sin problem. It ain't going to fix your guilt. It ain't going to clear your record. Brother, I'm telling you, he said, get away from where. He said, go to the Biltmore House. Go to Cancun. See Miami, Orlando, Canada. Go to Alaska. She said, why would I want to go up north? He said, well, it's beautiful up there in the middle of July. And she said, well, I'll try it. And she went, and it didn't do her a bit of good. She went to another doctor. He said, the truth is, this is just a phase you're going through. It's because you were raised to believe that you've got a disease and you'll grow out of it. She said, it's been 12 years and I've nothing better but rather grew worse. I don't think I'm going to grow out of it. I think it's getting ready to kill me. He said, that's your problem right there. You're too negative. You need, honey, you need to just believe, and believe it, you can achieve it. Believe in yourself. She said, I don't know where you went to school, dude, or what kind of books you've been reading, but I'm telling you that don't work. I'm hurting. I'm dying. I've got a disease inside me. You've got something inside you that science or education or religion can never cure. You've got something inside you this morning. If you travel the world, it would never. You've got something inside you this morning. If you owned all the money in this world, would not fix. You've got a sin problem inside you today. Thirdly, this morning, I want to look at her decision. She made up her mind. She said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to Jesus. She said, I've heard about Him. I ain't going to another religion. I ain't going to science, philosophy. I'm not going to a school. She said, I'm going to Jesus Christ. And buddy, she made up her mind. I'm going. She pressed through the crowd. That's just like you sitting here this morning. There's a crowd of people in here, big crowd of people. And you're sitting back here this morning and you've tried all this stuff that I'm preaching about. And you know what you need to do? Push right through this crowd and come right up here and say, Lord, I want to touch you this morning. That's what she did. She went through that crowd. She got, this one was in her way, that was in her way. And the crowd will stay in your way. That crowd you work with is in your way. That crowd that lives on that street you live on is in your way. You got to pass all them up, leave them friends behind, and go out here and just touch Him just like that. You come up here this morning and say, Lord, I'm trusting in You. I need help from You. And buddy, she went through and the Bible said she touched His clothes. And when she touched His clothes, think about that. She touched the Lord's clothes. I don't know, whatever, a robe or whatever He was wearing. She touched His clothes like that. And when she touched, she felt in her body. She got healed just like that. He didn't even know she was there. Of course He knew everything. But he turned around like this and said, who touched me? And buddy, the disciples going around, they said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? People's bumping into each other. People's knocking each other around. And you ask me who touched you? Well, they're bumping into you all over the place, Lord. It's like walking down Main Street, the Christmas parade. I mean, everybody's bumping into each other and everything. And you ask who touched you? And the Lord turned around and He said, somebody touched me. I felt virtue go out of me. He said, I know. Somebody, I'm going to tell you something, brother. We ain't got time to get into all of that. What a miracle that was. But her decision was, I'm going to Jesus. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. In His arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. I'll never forget that night as an 18-year-old boy. I tried everything and rather grew worse. I tried everything I knew to try. That night I made up my mind I was going to touch Him. And brother, I hit that altar that night. I reached up and I said, Lord, help me. And I helped Him. I touched Him. He helped me. And I felt in my body my sins were all gone and forgiven. You know what? Her determination. I'm through. Her determination. He said, somebody touched me. I felt virtue go out of me. He could tell when that power went out of Him. He had plenty left too. And she said, well, He knows it now. And she was trembling and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. She said, Lord, I ain't no good. Lord, I sinned. I've messed up my life. I've tried everything in the world. I've blowed my money and I'm about broke and I need Your help. Now that's the condition you've got to come to Him in. You can't come to the attitude of the Lord or this bargain making. I'm going to try to make a deal. And I'm saying, if You'll get me out of trouble, then I'll do this. Now, that ain't the way it works. I've heard people come to the altar and they'll say, Lord, if You'll bring my wife back, I'll serve You. That ain't the way it works. You come to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to serve You whether she ever comes back or not. Lord, if my husband never comes back or not, I'm going to serve You. Lord, if I never get out of this trouble with the law, Lord, I'm in trouble. But if You don't get me out, I'm going to serve You anyway. Then you're getting somewhere. That's when you're getting somewhere. You don't make deals with Him. You got to say, Lord, if my wife never comes back, if they throw me in the penitentiary, I'll serve You. I'm telling you, I'm coming clean. I'm telling you all the truth. That's when the Lord will help you. When you get like that. Her determination. Buddy, the Lord looked around and said, woman, you're done. You're well. go and have fun, enjoy your life. And she realized she spent all that money and all that time trying to find peace down inside, and it didn't work until she came to Him. Brother Mike mentioned it in Sunday school about that empty spot on the inside of everybody. And you've got it too. And the Lord's the only thing that'll fit it. I don't know who's here this morning that I preached this sermon for. But the Lord gave me this thought the other day, and I wrote down thoughts the other night in Virginia, and I tried to think about this morning. I drove till almost 2 o'clock this morning, and I started getting sleepy, and I started thinking, but all I could think about is this woman touching Jesus. This woman touching Jesus. Somebody here this morning needs to touch Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed. There's a woman here this morning. A man. A teenage boy, a girl. That needs to touch Jesus. There's